Welcome to Let's Hear It. I'm Cara Lawrence, and today it's a special day. It's time to open the brochure for the 2020 Gilmour Keyboard Festival with Executive Director Pierre van der Vesthazen. Thank you for coming back to chat about this again.
Thank you so much for having me, Cara. It's great to be here.
My understanding is that ticket sales opened to the public a few days ago, and through the website, things have been going smoothly and tickets have been flying off the shelves. Is that the,
absolutely.
Is that the phrase?
We are so thrilled and excited that the public sales are here. And I mean, sales started as early as midnight on the 15th or the 14th. I'm not quite sure how that works. Yes, very, very busy, but we have an amazing team working in the box office, and it's going well. So far, so good.
It's a cornucopia of events, styles, players, solo events, group events, and it goes well beyond that to informative lectures and films and interesting new ideas as well, an interactive art exhibit.
Right. You know, to me, this is so exciting. I'm so thrilled to be able to share my first festival that I've put together, you know, for the Kalamazoo community, for the region, for the world at large, to show the rest of the country and the rest of the music world, you know, what we're all capable of here and what we're capable of putting together. It's truly very, very special to be part of. And yes, I put the festival together with certain elements and categories and genres and so on in mind. You know, the piano means so many different things to many different people, depending on where you're coming from. And there's a reason why it's still relevant, you know, 400, almost 500 years after it's it was conceived, of the piano, the harpsichord, and the forte piano, and then the piano. And we're here to celebrate that and show why.
Pierre, we cannot cover every single event in this, but I'm admitting failure right off the bat. There are too many events to list. Mm-hmm. But as we know, we're talking to people who love classical music and a lot of jazz lovers mm-hmm. as well. I think we may do a good job in touching on many of the truly unforgettable classical and jazz experiences that you have to offer this spring. What are the dates? Shall we start with the window?
Yes. So the dates of the festival this year is April 22nd through May 10th, with a very special event, pre-festival event, on April 15th.
I think we should start at the beginning. Yes. April 15th.
April 15th. This is Renee Fleming and Evgeny Kissin. Miss Fleming is a world-famous opera star. And Evgeny Kissin, another legend of the piano world. And this will be the first time this season that the two of them are collaborating in this way. This is one of a handful of stops that they're doing. They're playing Chicago, New York, I think Boston, and here, Kalamazoo. So this is what we're so proud of and so happy about that the Gilmour can bring here, and that's April 15th.
Evgeny Kissin was such a prodigy as a young man that mm-hmm. his albums ended up on pop charts and things like that. Mm. And so if you are fascinated with his career and playing, you will get to see him as a solo artist during this concert.
Absolutely. So the two of them will collaborate with pieces for voice and piano, but all throughout the evening he will also be playing solo works at his discretion, I think.
April 15th, and I'm with Pierre van der Vesthazen of the Gilmour Keyboard Festival. Tickets are on sale to the public right now through the gilmour.org. And we are actually literally looking through this beautiful brochure. I understand that these are right now traveling to people in the mail.
Right.
For those on the mailing list.
Yes, exactly. They will be hitting mailboxes in the Kalamazoo area this week, and then in the larger region and other states next week. But if you don't have a brochure, please contact us, and or you don't get one, we're more than happy to send you one.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah.
The artists all in one place, beautiful images and descriptions, and of course, the very important time and date information. You can find out more on the brochure if you'd like to contact the Gilmore at info@thegilmore.org. So now I've turned to a page. We're on April 25th in Chenery Auditorium, and you've brought back an artist who has appeared here before. So I personally, having been here for so long, I love seeing returning artists, Yefim Bronfman.
Yes. We've invited Yefim, or as we call him, Fima, back to help kick off the celebration of Beethoven. This is a big Beethoven here. I think anybody in the music world, classical music world, are aware of the Beethoven celebrations. This is 250th birthday of Beethoven. And so we are jumping in with that as well, with a series of concerts to celebrate Beethoven. And so Yefim will be playing a recital of all Beethoven sonatas, not all of them, but the concert will be Beethoven sonatas. He'll end the concert with the very famous Appassionata sonata, and that's at Chenery Auditorium on the 25th.
He's playing a huge handful.
Right.
The Opus 10, numbers 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And the Appassionata, which will be sort of like, oh, the hit, the one I know,
exactly.
at the end of the concert.
Exactly.
The first three, like, I should know these better.
Yes. Well, and the first three, you know, Beethoven was just arriving in Vienna. He's a young man. And with the Appassionata as well, he's at the height of his powers. He is celebrated as a pianist, as a composer, is full of excitement, bravura, energy, virtuosity. It's everything that you kind of expect out of Beethoven.
All great words to describe Yefim Bronfman.
And exactly.
As well. He is a tireless concertizer, both in recital and with orchestra. He tends to bring the house down.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Yeah. Now, I'm thrilled. You know, we see, this is the great thing about the festival, is we see these artists a lot in concerto whenever they're in the bigger markets, but not so often in recital. And so this is a great opportunity to see Yefim in this very intimate setting.
It's April 25th in Chenery Auditorium, and all the details are at thegilmore.org. Also early in the festival, as we often see, a Gilmore young artist makes his or her debut. And to be honest, after all these years, I'm getting confused as to who was a young artist, who was a, you know, Gilmore artist.
Right.
And they all end up with these careers that do them and do the Gilmore proud.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's such a special process. We have two very different but exciting young pianists this year as Gilmore Young Artists. Misha Galant, who is a junior at Columbia and Juilliard, and Maxime Lando, who is, I think, 16 or 17. He just turned 17 in the Juilliard pre-college division. Both Misha and Maxime will be playing at the festival. We did a special announcement of them at Steinway Hall in New York last year, where they played to a select group of industry professionals in New York. And it was very gratifying to see the response they received. And Maxime had his Carnegie Hall debut recently, which went extremely well. As in years past, they will come and do solo recitals at Stetson, and they will be playing in concerto with regional orchestras as well.
And the Gilmore also arranges to have these young artists play in halls in smaller towns around
exactly.
this area.
Exactly. So Misha Galant, for example, he will play also in South Haven and at the First Congregational Church in Battle Creek. And Maxime will play in Saugatuck, which is a new partner for us this year, the Saugatuck Center for the Arts, and at the Frank Center for the Arts in Marshall.
I think that not only, you know, helps us as a community learn and get to know these artists, but the artists themselves will never forget their Gilmore debuts.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And West Michigan.
It's a win-win. It enriches everybody.
So those recitals are posted at thegilmore.org. Mm-hmm. I'm with Pierre van der Vesthazen, who is the executive director of the Gilmore. And this is, as executive director, the first festival in which you've top to bottom picked the artists, programmed them, and kind of said, here's my idea of a piano festival in Kalamazoo. Up next, I'd like to talk about Igor Levit, the 2018 Gilmore artist.
Yeah. Oh, Igor, it's kind of where to start. You know, he is a truly phenomenal artist and musician. He has a real unique voice and is making an enormous impact in the classical music industry. He is busier than all get out. He just released, is it the third or fourth album? But this one is the complete Beethoven Sonatas that just came out on Sony. And he will be part of our Beethoven celebration. He's also doing a program consisting of Beethoven Sonatas.
The Beethoven celebration, yes.
Exactly.
Mr. Levit, I could imagine releasing all the Beethoven works again in 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of made a splash onto the scene when his first CD was also a collection of Beethoven sonatas. And I remember the critics thinking, well, you know, this young guy, what does he have to contribute to it? And then everybody just being so blown away by his voice and his originality of approach. So
he's also someone that if you talk to him, he is sometimes more interested in talking about other artists, be they musicians or, you know, visual artists, talking a little philosophy that can go over my head.
Yes. He's a passionate human being.
Yeah. Just so interested in being alive, not just in recreating classics from the past.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the musicians of the 21st century have to find different ways of connecting with their audiences. And Igor happens to be very active on social media as well. He speaks his mind. But ultimately, his performances come truly from the heart. And that, you know, doesn't matter really what era the musician comes from. When that's the case, it is timeless.
Well, let's let Igor Levit do a little talking for us. Here's music from his almost most recent album called Life. I'm with Pierre van der Vesthazen, and we are looking at the Spring Festival, the 2020 Gilmore Keyboard Festival. All the details are online at thegilmore.org, but I hope you'll stay tuned and hear more inside information on these special artists and events coming up in spring. I'm with Pierre van der Vesthazen of the Gilmore Keyboard Festival, and we just took a musical break to hear a recording by the 2018 Gilmore artist Igor Levit. That was a transcription from Wagner's opera Tristan und Isolde, Isolde's Liebestod. He will appear at the festival May 8th in Stetson Chapel with another all Beethoven program.
Right.
His debut at the festival was the last four sonatas.
That's right. Continuing the Beethoven. This one, though, he on the program is the Hammerklavier Sonata, one of the Mount Everest of Beethoven sonatas. And it's very fitting that he's playing that piece. You know, it's a piece that breaks through all kind of barriers, sound-wise, pushing the piano to its limits, reaching emotionally to the limits of what Beethoven was searching for. It's just very apt that Igor chose that.
It does call on listeners, too, to stretch.
Right. It's an emotional journey. But it is incredible music. It is one of the most difficult pieces of repertoire still remains that I know of.
Yeah. I think of trills that sort of
go on
into the cosmos.
yes,
with the hammer clavier.
Exactly, and fugues that just amazing. Yeah,
great masterpiece and a great pianist, Igor Levit, returning to the Gilmore Keyboard Festival in spring. Mm-hmm. The details on the festival are at thegilmore.org, and tickets are now on sale.
They are
to the general public. Now, I know, as we talked a little bit before we went on the air, this next recital may not like pop out of the page for everyone as mm-hmm. they turn, but it's great to spend a little time on the name Sergei Babayan.
Yes. I cannot say enough about Sergei. He's one of my dear friends. We have a very strong connection. Prior to coming here, for seven years, I was in Cleveland, where I was the executive director of the Cleveland International Piano Competition, which Sergei Babayan won in 1989, and that's how he came to the country. He focused on teaching at the Cleveland Institute of Music and at Juilliard for much of his career, even though he's a phenomenal pianist. And he's such a phenomenal pianist that we all may recognize one of his star pupils, Daniil Trifonov, whose career very early on has really blossomed. But what would happen is Daniil would be invited to play all these festivals and venues and say, you know, thank you very much, but you have to hear my teacher. And Sergei started to get invited by major conductors like Gergiev and so on to go on tour. And everybody, of course, very quickly caught on. We were very privileged, my wife and I, to hear Sergei in recital in Cleveland often. And I was saying earlier, too, it was probably the first time that Chopin playing brought me to tears. His sound production, his colors, his grace, his facility at the keyboard, his excitement. You know, I think it's high time the world discovered this magnificent artist. And now he's busier than ever. He's traveling all over the world, and his career is exploding in his mid-50s. And I couldn't be more thrilled for him. So I encourage people to come and hear him.
You brought along a special recording, which mm-hmm. You said rivals any other recording of Scarlatti's sonata.
Yes, it was an early recording he made that he self-produced, but he was very passionate about it. Scarlatti disc, two discs of all just Scarlatti sonatas, and the articulation, again, the sound, well, you'll hear for yourself. It is quite thrilling. Thank you.
Sergei Babayan, the name of the pianist playing Scarlatti in that recording, a recording not widely known. Mm-hmm. Babayan, as you said, Pierre, has focused on his teaching career and bringing up young, outstanding talent for mm-hmm. such a while. And suddenly, mm-hmm. he's the soloist everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. He'll be at the Gilmore on April 30th in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University. Next door to the recital hall is a lounge you're setting up.
Yeah, we're doing quite series. A number of new things at the festival this year. There'll be some a chance to socialize prior to and after the Dalton concerts. We're turning the multimedia room right inside there, or right next to the recital hall, into a lounge, which will have some, you know, nice, comfortable seating and a cash bar and opportunity to catch up with friends either before or afterwards and during intermission. Don't worry, the cookies and coffee will still be there. We usually have Sarkozy have some wonderful cookies for us from the Sarkozy Bakery, but that will still be there. And it's just a chance to, you know, be festive. This is a festival and I wanted to have fun with it.
I can see taking my elation from the concert to the Gilmore Lounge for some libation afterwards.
Exactly. Well, and it also gives us an opportunity to, you know, if the artist wants to come and say hi to the public, to do that there and have a more relaxed setting to interact with the musicians.
Very good to know. That's mm-hmm. thegilmore.org is the website where all these events are listed. And as I turn the page, next I see a title covering several events, Blissfully Baroque.
Blissfully Baroque, yeah. This is, as I mentioned earlier, I have all of these categories at the festival. You see them on the website and in the brochure. And it basically reflects how I put the festival together. I built an artistic framework in my mind, and then I like to have a cohesive artistic voice within this framework at the festival to kind of take the listener through a journey. And so we talked about, you know, Renee Fleming and Evgeny Kissin. That was an exceptional experience. And then we have the Beethoven celebration. We have solo piano recitals. And this is Blissfully Baroque. I really love Baroque music, and I sought out some musicians who I think are just wonderful at it, including Angela Hewitt, who is a world-renowned Bach expert.
Canadian.
And she is she's finishing up a four-year odyssey where she has committed to playing all of the works for the keyboard by Johann Sebastian Bach. She brings something completely compelling and different to the works of Bach in the fact that she was a trained ballerina as well and had to choose between being a professional ballerina or a pianist. And so she can dance these minuets and, you know, gavottes and everything. And then we also have Apollo's Fire, who is a Cleveland connection for me, Jeanette Sorrell. Very thrilled to have them back here.
Not just Cleveland, a world-class Baroque ensemble.
Yes.
So that will be more of the orchestral style.
Yes, she's doing two Brandenburg concerti and some of her own arrangements of works as well. It's called In Bach's Coffee House, and it's meant to be a reproduction of these famous concerts that Bach had held in the coffee houses in Leipzig.
Other Baroque fans may want to look at the Music from the Grand Court of Versailles concert as well.
Yes, Alexander Tarot. And then we also have another category as chamber music collaborations. Two there is Trio Solisti. We'll play Beethoven's Ghost Trio, one of my favorite trios, probably because it was the first piano trio that I learned and played as a student. And then Stolberg competition winner Jinju Cho with Laurie Sims playing, among others, the Kreutzer Sonata by Beethoven for violin and piano.
So chamber music has always been part of this festival.
Yes.
There have been, I mean, just 2 years ago, Ingrid Fleeter
right.
and her friends played the quartet for the End of Time.
Yeah.
It's it's hard to choose listeners. I mean, you can't go to every single thing. Well, you can try.
You can try.
It's tough. Details at thegilmore.org, and tickets are on sale right now to the public. If you know you have trouble navigating, or you just want to talk to someone on the phone, mm-hmm. there is a box office and someone manning that right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, with extended hours. And then we have another category is called Uniquely Gilmore. Long ago, even before I came to the Gilmore, was somewhat aware of it. We used to say, well, this is a thing that can only happen at the Gilmore Festival. You know, is it these special, unique concerts that can't really be reproduced, or they're specially made for the Gilmore. And one of this is a piano duet, Zofo, out of San Francisco. And they will collaborate with Wellspring, Corytarian dancers, for a concert that combines piano with dance and choreography.
Great collaboration. Yeah. The pieces include Holst's The Planets
exactly.
and others. And I think that would be quite inspiring for yep. Wellspring to bring modern dance to classical music with Zofo.
Exactly. We also have a gentleman named Rob Schwimmer. It happens to be the centennial of the theremin. And he will be presenting a concert for works of theremin and piano, but also piano solo, focusing on works from the Great American Songbook. It's just beautiful sounding, the theremin. You don't think of it as a beautiful instrument, but it sounds like a beautiful, gorgeous voice, the way he does it.
I want to challenge you. I mean, where's the keyboard on the theremin?
Well, he does it with the piano. And there's also another instrument that he's bringing in. It's called the Haken Continuum, which is an early version of a synthesizer. So we're a keyboard festival, after all. So we try to present the world of keyboards as well. Mm-hmm. So, and I do want to mention a comedic duo, Igudusman and Zhu. It's a violin and piano duo. They'll be playing at State Theater on May 9th. Go check out their videos. It is hysterical. They make me think of Victor Borga, one of my all-time heroes. they met as students in Vienna. They're both classically trained, really virtuosos in their own right, but have this career of they're just hilarious, taking on classics and turning it on its head.
You know, I love that classical music still has enough fans and activity and love out there for there to be numerous satire groups.
Yeah.
and they're such a laugh. Yeah,
yeah, they are.
I love it. So I've turned the page again, and here is a picture of a woman I consider absolute piano royalty.
I'm blown away, continuously enthralled. Maria João Pires, one of the world's greatest pianists, and I don't say this lightly because this is a piano festival, but she recently retired from the concert stage, but she's bringing her very special workshop, the Partitura Workshop, to the United States for the first time, and we'll be presenting it. It's a 9-day intensive workshop with 6 hand-selected pianists, but she ends the workshop with a recital at Stetson Chapel on Saturday, May 9th in the afternoon, where she will be playing solo and piano forehand works with these workshop participants. So here's your chance to have a rare performance of Maria João Pires.
Well, speaking of viral classical videos, I believe it was Maria João Pires who suddenly had to switch concertos.
Yes. this is, if you Google and you go on YouTube and you say Maria João Pires wrong concerto, it's a very famous, it was an open rehearsal with the Concertgebouw Orchestra, and she had prepared one concerto, and when the orchestra started to play, you can see the look of horror on her face. They started to play a different concerto, and you can see herself, like see her pulling herself together and say, okay, this is happening, and she starts to play, and it just pours out of her beautifully and perfectly, It's astonishing. She is truly a miracle.
That's just one story we could tell.
I know.
You know, about all of these remarkable, remarkable artists. Yeah. And that is why this festival is so important, so mm-hmm. special, and so vital to West Michigan. There's mm-hmm. nothing like it anywhere near here at all.
Absolutely.
We do see visitors from New York, Chicago, Cleveland mm-hmm. come to witness these artists.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this workshop is very unique. And actually, the last 2 days of the workshop, it runs from May 1st through 9th, but the last 2 days will be open to the public to go and observe. And so the details will be on our website.
Up next in this beautiful brochure, mm-hmm. we have a listing of orchestra concerts,
right.
Because that has always been a foundation
yeah.
of the festival.
Right. And we'll end the festival again with a wonderful collaboration with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. There's a whole host of others, but the festival finale, I'm so excited to be working with Maestro Julian Querti, and Igor Levit will be coming back for Beethoven's third piano concerto.
C minor?
C minor, yes.
Oh, brand new page, and now we're talking about jazz.
Jazz, all that jazz. I had so much fun putting together jazz and delving into jazz. And I'm just thrilled to bring a legend here who we all know and love. Fred Hirsch will be bringing his trio, but to Stetson Chapel for an evening event, Thursday, May 7th at 7:30. And he and Igor have a very special bond. And you mentioned that you had talked with Igor about this as well. And
Igor mentioned Fred, told a story, really, mm-hmm. about Fred Hirsch. When he was in New York, a friend said, "Would you like to go to the Village Vanguard to see Fred Hirsch?" And he said, "Sure," without knowing who Fred Hirsch was.
Yeah.
And his world changed that night, he said. Yeah. And he also recommended Fred Hirsch's autobiography.
Yeah.
It's on my Amazon wish list for anyone.
Amazing, amazing story there. Yeah. And a Grammy-nominated artist, world-class artist.
Fred Hirsch. He'll be playing not solo, but with a trio.
With his trio, yes.
And that will be at Stetson Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting
special
jazz
experience.
Venue.
Yes, exactly.
Other artists on the series include Pablo Ziegler, mm-hmm. who's a famous tango artist, and Aaron Deal.
The Aaron Deal Trio. Yeah, he's bringing his trio. This is to the jazz club, we call it, the WMU Williams Theater. We turn into a jazz club, and Aaron will bring his trio. He's a very exciting pianist, and Aaron kind of straddles both worlds of classical and jazz. He's played with the Cleveland Orchestra and the New York Phil, but then he also has his trio. He's a fascinating artist.
He went to Juilliard. Mm-hmm. He also gave an unforgettable concert in Kalamazoo with Cecile McLaurin-Salfant.
Oh, yeah.
A few seasons ago now.
Yeah.
There's a noon series, of course.
There is. We have our noon series at the Civic and also at the Kellogg Foundation in Battle Creek. We have a number of artists coming. One who I'm particularly excited about also is Dan Tepfer. Dan is an American, but he was born in France, raised in Paris, went to the Paris Conservatoire, and then turned to jazz. The first time I met with Dan, it was my wife and I were still teaching at Heidelberg College back in Ohio, 15 years ago now. And he played the Bach-Goldberg variations with his own variations, jazz improvisations in between the variations. So he is just, he's a very brainiac guy and does very innovative things. So thrilled to have him here.
That's bold. You're playing Bach and then saying, "I wrote this bit."
And actually for the festival, he asked me if it would be okay. And I said, I think it'd be wonderful. He's doing a jazz arrangement of Stravinsky's Pulcinella Suite for piano, for jazz trio.
Oh, the possibilities. That's
yes.
wonderful. Turning the page again, one thing that is probably the best kept secret of the Gilmore Keyboard Festival are the free masterclasses mm-hmm. that you can attend throughout the festival. It's not a performance.
Right.
A masterclass is a teacher, a master
right.
working very closely and in the moment right then
yeah.
with a student who has prepared to a high level
right.
Piece of music, and you get to watch it transform.
Right. And we, you know, for some of them, we twist their arms, like with Yefim Bronfman, who doesn't teach regularly or often, but we attract really wonderful students who come here. And it's a rare opportunity for the audience to really hear from the master themselves what they think about this music and how they feel about this. So
I had just seen Emmanuel Axe play a beautiful, well-considered program of variations. And the next day at Masterclass, I felt I learned so much more about him, mm-hmm. and how
he
treated the student, right. And said, yeah. You know, you play that better than I do. He's so humble.
He is wonderful. And then I just wanted to also mention that something new and different that we're doing at the festival this year as well is public art. This is an interactive art installation at the Jolliffe Theater. It'll run May 4th through May 6th, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., free and open to the public. And we're bringing in a group called Intermedio, based in Cincinnati. And the project is called Oscillators. And what they're doing is they are deconstructing a piano's keyboard and hanging the keys from the ceiling to serve as pendulums. And the way the audience, the public, walk through and interact with these pendulums will communicate somehow. I know it's a little bit above my head, but it'll communicate somehow to a Yamaha disc clavier that's pre-composed somewhat, so you have some manipulation over the composition process as well. Anyway, long way of saying that it is, I think, a very interesting, family-friendly thing. Bring your kids. It'll be fun as well.
So that's an installation at the Jolliffe Theater in downtown Kalamazoo.
Yes.
That sort of has to be experienced to be explained.
Exactly. And there's some video on the website if you want to see.
Well, Pierre, we've just spent a good amount of time looking at some of these highlights, but haven't touched on nearly all. But we have to leave some for listeners to explore for themselves. Once again, where can they find the full festival lineup and how can they request a brochure?
Go to thegilmore.org and you will find the festival lineup there. We have an interactive website, an interactive calendar where you can sort and search for all kinds of things. But also if you'd like a brochure, just email us at info@thegilmore.org. Happy to send you one.
Earlier, we were talking about Sergei Babayan, mm-hmm. and here at the end of the hour, since we have a little time left, I would like to feature another performance that is special to you because of how this performance came about, mm-hmm. through your former position.
Yes. The last concert I produced in Cleveland before coming here was the Cleveland debut, really, of world-famous Martha Argerich. And she came because she wanted to play with her friend, Sergei Babayan. They became very good friends a number of years ago and started to play duo piano together. And so we presented them at Severance Hall with a program of works by Prokofiev. That Sergei himself actually transcribed for the two of them to play. And it's the Romeo and Juliet suite that they started the program with. And one of the most magical evenings and moments of my career. So unforgettable.
Well, the Gilmore Keyboard Festival has provided many of the highlights of my my listening career.
Yeah.
I and many others are looking forward to the magic of the spring and the Gilmore Keyboard Festival 2020. Thanks for previewing it with me.
Thank you so much for having me.